the words of God given to us today are Revelations chapter 3, verses 14 to 22. It is page 402 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put in your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen." The people who continuously caused grief to children of Israel after they settled in Canaan were Philistines. Well-known among them was Goliath. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, there is a scene about a battle between David and Goliath. It is said that Goliath was about 6 cubits and a span. 1 cubit is about 45 centimeters, and 1 span is about 20 centimeters. Therefore, he was about 290 centimeters in height. In Korean, when we exaggerate the height of somebody who is very tall, we say the person is 8 feet tall. But Goliath, not by exaggeration, but in reality, was taller than somebody who is 9 feet tall. Israeli soldiers probably became overcome and lost all will to fight when they saw how tall he was. And this was not all. He wore a brass helmet on his head, and his body and his legs were wrapped in armor, which had scales like that of a fish. The weight of these things was about 57 kilos. And the weight of the spear that he was carrying, it was about 7 kilos. And this was only the blade part of the spear, so if you add on the weight of the handle, the entire spear probably weighed about 10 kilos. It would be hard for somebody like me to even move when wearing such armor and carrying such a spear. And furthermore, there were soldiers who were carrying huge shields in front of Goliath. These soldiers were bodyguards who protected Goliath from arrows and spears that might come from unexpected directions. And Goliath was also a very excellent fighter, so much so that most English Bibles refer to him as a champion. It means that as far as battles were concerned, he was the absolute undefeatable winner, and it looked like nobody could stop him. But even Goliath was eventually undone when the stone thrown by David became lodged in his forehead. He fell to the ground. And the 1 Samuel testifies as to what David did when that happened. David ran and stood over him. He grabbed the Philistine sword, pulled it from his sheath, and used it to kill him. Then he cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they ran. David pulled the sword of Goliath from his sheath and cut off his head. When David went forward to face Goliath with his sling, this is what he said. This is from 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. David said to Philistine, "You come against me with the dagger, spear, and sword, but I come against you in the name of Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel's armies. You have defied him." What Goliath trusted were his height and the sword, the spear, and a dagger that he had. But his head was cut off by the very sword that he trusted in so much. In chapter 12 of Luke, there is a parable about a rich man that Jesus told. He gathered much grain from his fields. He had so much harvest that there was no end to storing them. So the rich man thought and thought and thought and came to the following conclusion, and he was full of satisfaction. This is the testimony from Luke chapter 12, verses 18 to 19. "I will do this," he said. "I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones and store all my grain, my goods there. Then I'll say to myself, 'You have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.'" Now this rich man was sure of himself. The harvest and the things that he piled up in the new barns would keep him from any financial worry and bring him peace. That he will never lack in things to eat and drink, and good things will keep happening to him. To this rich man, the grains and things that were full in his barns were his mountain fortress, his strong place, his strongest weapons. But the thoughts of God were very different from those of this rich man. This is a testimony from Luke chapter 12, verses 20 to 21. "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, who will they be?' That's how it is with one who stores up treasure for himself and is now rich toward God." The rich man thought of many years to come, but God was thinking of that particular night. The rich man firmly believed that his grains and goods would guard the rest of his life, but God was shaking his head no. Although the rich man may have thought that he was a wise man, God called him a foolish one. The Lord said that not only this man, but any man who piles up riches for himself but is not rich towards God will be like this person. Goliath had his head cut off by the sword that he firmly trusted to protect him. The rich man that Jesus spoke about in parable 2 failed to know God rightly because of the grains and the goods that he trusted so much, and failed at enjoying the riches from God, which is what really counts. Today's text 2 testifies about the church of Laodicea, which failed to enjoy the true riches because of things he firmly trusted to protect it. Laodicea was was located between the Hierapolis, which was famous for hot springs, and Colossae, which was known for its cool springs. Because the water situation wasn't too great in Laodicea, he received water through pipes that were connected to these two cities. But the clear and cool water from Colossae lost its character and became lukewarm on his way to Laodicea. And the hot spring water from Hierapolis that had medicinal properties, this water also lost its properties and ended up becoming lukewarm on his way to Laodicea. Often the water from Hierapolis became mixed with other compounds on his way to Laodicea, and when this happened, it took on a bad smell like that of sulfur and made one gag when one took a gulp. Lukewarm and smelly indicated the state of the faith of the Church of Laodicea. But the Church failed to realize its reality. The first part of verse 17 testifies as to how the Laodicea church thought of itself. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy and need nothing. The church of Laodicea was full of self-satisfaction. I am rich, I lack nothing. This was the self-identity the Laodicean church cut out for itself. From the outside, Laodicea church was wealthy. At the time, Laodicea was the center of finance for Asia Minor and functioned like a bank. When it became destroyed due to an earthquake 30 years before this letter was sent, it rebuilt itself. The Roman emperor at the time promised financial and material assistance and tax reductions. Laodicea refused them all and rebuilt itself on its own. That's how wealthy it was. Not only that, garment industry thrived in Laodicea, and this was the source of its wealth. The tunics, which were made with wool produced in Laodicea, had deep purple color to it and were sold at very high prices. This clothing, which was called a trimita, in today's terms, was a luxury brand good that everybody wanted to have. Furthermore, Laodicea was well known for medicine. Ointments made with nard was known as medicine that was good for the ears. And even more famous was tepra phrygia, a medicine for the eyes. It was known that if this pill was grounded and its powders was put in the eyes, it was most effective and there was no better medicine for the eyes. So it was widely exported to many other countries. Because of these financial activities, Laodicea and the Church of Laodicea became richer and richer. So from the outside, it looked like it lacked nothing. But this was not how the Lord evaluated the church. The latter part of verse 17 testifies as follows. You don't know that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. The Lord said five things about the church of Laodicea that he did not know about itself. Firstly, the Lord said that the church of Laodicea did not know that it was wretched. To be wretched means that your life is completely wrecked and you are in worst of luck and are deserving of pity. The word wretched used in today's text in Greek is used only in one other place in the New Testament, and is found in Romans chapter 7, verse 24. And this is what it testifies. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this dying body? Now, Apostle Paul, too, once tried to achieve his righteousness and become approved of God by keeping the law. But the more he tried, he realized that he couldn't do it by his efforts and discovered how pathetic he was. And this is the confession that he made, that he was a wretched man. Thereafter, he confesses that although he was such a man, he received deliverance from Jesus Christ, and he came to be under the rule of the law, of the life of the Spirit. In most English Bibles, this Greek word is mostly translated as wretched, and this word also comes up in the hymn that we sing often. This is the first part of the first verse of hymn number 305. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The wretched sinner is the wretched person that I am. If we were to elaborate on this lyric further, it would go like this. The amazing grace of the Lord, how warm and sweet it sounds. It is this grace that saved a wretched person like me. The Church of Laodicea probably never thought that it had a wretched existence, not even in its dreams. But in the eyes of the Lord, it was made up of truly wretched lives. Secondly, the Lord said that the Church of Laodicea did not know that it was pitiful. The meaning of word pitiful is that one is stirred to feel pity for a person who is in a pathetic situation. The Greek word for this was also used one other place in the New Testament, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. The 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is known as the chapter of resurrection. As we live, there are times that we are surprised by news of death that we did not expect. When we are sorry to hear the death of someone, we hoped we'd live longer and have good influence on people. Or when we are oppressed by the news of people who died of sudden accidents or events and whom we cannot meet anymore on this earth. But we are able to hold on to the ray of hope, regardless of how we came to say goodbye to somebody due to death. We are able to hold on to this ray of hope to the end, because if we are in the Lord, we can meet him or her someday. And until that day, the Lord firmly holds us. But if the life on this earth is it, and there is no one to guide us afterwards, then whether I live 20 or 30 years, 50 years, 70 years, and even 100 years, this life would truly be pitiful. This Greek word for pitiful is sometimes translated in English Bible as miserable. This word reminds us of Victor Hugo's novel, The Miserable. The Church of Laodicea thought of itself as blessed people, people who could boast, and yet the Lord saw them as the miserable, the pitiful people. Thirdly, the Lord said that the Church of Laodicea did not know that it was poor. As for the state of being poor, I had spoken about this when we shared the word about the Church of Smyrna. In Greek, there are two words that depict the state of being poor. The one is penia, which means that you don't have enough to make a living. It would come close to the Korean expression, which describes one being so poor that one can barely wet the lips with rice gruel. And the other word is ptokeia, which means absolute poverty. One does not even have rice gruel and must beg in order to live. The word used to describe Smyrna Church was this word. And Jesus used the same word for the Church of Laodicea. He's saying, did you know that you're so spiritually poor that you can only make a living by begging? The Church of Laodicea probably would have become very angry and upon hearing this and would have protested that this was completely incorrect. Maybe they would have said, our church has bankers that manage banks in Laodicea, a person who operates the largest garment company, and many doctors and pharmacists. And you're saying that our church is poor? But the Lord definitely said this was the case. Fourthly, the Lord said that the church of Laodicea did not know that it was blind. In Greek, the word that means being blind is tuflos, which comes from the word tufo, which means becoming murky or dark because of smoke. Jesus did not say that the church of Laodicea was blind because they were physically handicapped. It was because they did not see the things that they should see and focused only on things they did not need to see so much. There is a novel by Jose Saramago, a Nobel Prize-winning writer of Portugal, titled Blindness. It's a story about people who have suddenly become blind and are quarantined. It describes how animal-like, how selfish, how cruel people of blindness can become through the eyes of one person who can see. There is a memorable statement at the end of the book. It says this, I want to know what I am thinking. I do not think that we have regained our sight after becoming blind. I think we were blind from the beginning and are still blind. In other words, we can see, but we are blind people who do not see. If you only see what you want to see and fail to see the things that you should see, then you're like a blind person, even if your eyes are fine. Therefore, we say about a person who only sees power because his eyes are clouded by the smoke called power, that he has become blinded by power. And for people whose sights have become darkened by the smoke called wealth, and who only tries to see wealth and refuse to give value to anything else and refuse to look at them, we say the person has become blinded by wealth. The Church of Laodicea saw the wealth and fame that a city can give, but it did not regard the Lord, whom it should have regarded. The Church of Laodicea saw the gorgeousness and the comfort that a city could offer, but it did not regard the words of the Lord and ignored the eternal values. And so, even if they regarded their church as a church of the seeing, the Lord called it the church of the blind. The Lord, who has eternal sight, has said this, but they did not understand. Lastly, and fifthly, the Lord said that the church of Laodicea did not know that it was naked. Now, Laodicea was famous for garment industry, and in particular, trimita, which was made of dark purple wool, was the pride of Laodicea. But the church of Laodicea failed to see the true state of things, that they could not hide anything from the Lord. In the story of Hans Christian Andersen, there is a story about a very greedy and a naked emperor. The emperor wore clothes that were supposedly invisible, made by two lying tailors. And the emperor paraded down the street naked, believing that he was wise, and becomes a joke of the town. The Church of Laodicea may have proudly thought of itself as the church that wore the tunic, but the Lord regarded it as a naked church. But of course, what I think of myself is far more important than how other people see me. And no matter how long each of us have lived, the depth and the width of each of our lives are all different. And although we may have lived the same span of years, the depth and the width of our lives is never the same. And even if the depth and the width of two lives are similar, they never have the same shape. God has created each of us differently and have led us to the way that uniquely suits each of us. Yes, how I think of myself is far more important than how other people think of me. But there is something even more important: how the Lord sees me. Even if we shake our heads no to ourselves, if the Lord shakes his head yes, then it's okay. But even if we affirm ourselves 1,000 times, but the Lord shakes his head no, we must change the direction of our hearts and our lives. This is the way to cultivate our lives rightly and live in true abundance. The Church of Laodicea thought itself as being wealthy and thought it lacked nothing. But the Lord, who is Amen, who is the faithful and true witness, the ruler of creation, saw it as wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. The Lord, who has sent this letter to the Church of Laodicea 2,000 years ago is speaking to each of us today. How do each of us think of ourselves? How do I regard myself? Today is the Pentecost Sunday, which commemorates the Holy Spirit which came to the early church 2,000 years ago. The Lord sent us the Holy Spirit to turn us, who are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked, into rich people, to fill us with eternal things. We have come to enjoy the blessing of worshiping God today at this place because of the Holy Spirit. Let us not be fooled like Goliath in thinking that our weapons will protect us. Let us not give in to the temptation to think that my grains and my things will make my life abundant like the foolish rich man. And let us not be foolish like the church of Laodicea, who said it was rich and therefore lacked nothing. By myself, I will always be wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Let us live with this realization. It is only then that our lives will become truly rich, and our every day will be a Pentecost Sunday. Let us pray. Father God, there were many times that I thought that my weapons, my talents, knowledge, relationships would protect me, like Goliath. And there were also many times that I thought, like the foolish rich man, that the more grain and more things I have, my happiness and my satisfaction would become greater and I would become respected. But I confess that the more I got to have them, I became even more wretched, more pitiful, that greater possessions did not bring satisfaction. I became even more lost and overcame with cold. We pray that we will become people of true riches by the work of the Holy Spirit, and that our 100th anniversary memorial church will become rich due to the work of the Lord. Help us not to be satisfied by approvals of people, but by the affirmation of the Lord, and to proceed always this way. Thank you for allowing us to commemorate Pentecost Sunday. Allow us to walk with the Holy Spirit by prayer and through the words. Help us to experience the river of life overflowing within us because of the Holy Spirit, although we may look like we are wretched, pitiful, or poor from the perspective of the world, and enjoy the blessing that never dries up. And may we thereby live a life that is not lacking in anything because of the Holy Spirit, and may each of our days be the Pentecost Sunday. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.